Hey, good morning. It is Sunday, April 14th, 2024, and this is the Spiritual Living Center, the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Thanks to COVID, we have become the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown of the world. We have expanded beyond the Atlanta area by reaching out over the internet, and it has become amazing. Zoom, Facebook, YouTube, podcast, several other channels. This whole network is just amazing. So thank you for joining us. And I'd like to ask you a favor, either now or right after the service, please share this video, share this recording to other members in your online community. Our team has enlisted some of the best speakers in science of mind and new thought, and we want to share it with as many people as possible, and you can help. Can you do that for us? Thank you. Now, please join me as we come together in celebration. Such is the nature of God that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear, to manifest, to create in our lives. You are that opportunity. You embody that opportunity. And so am I, and so do I, and so it is. Whoever you are, whatever path brought you here today, please know that you are welcome and you are celebrated in our community. We know that who you are an individual expression of God. You are a unique manifestation of divine intelligence. You are God's opportunity to create and to be someone unique and wonderful. And so am I. Whatever state or country you're watching this from, whatever ethnicity, background, religious affiliation, however you know yourself or describe yourself, your pronouns, your gender identity, we love you all, and we are glad you're joining us today because this community was created to serve everyone. The Center for Spiritual Living Midtown is a strong, open, globally connected community centered on the clarity of principle through teaching, service, and practice. We create a safe and respectful environment that supports healthy spiritual growth for everyone. So for a better understanding of what we teach, please listen to our Declaration of Principles as written by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, and read by members of our congregation.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe
in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. That is what we believe. There is a full declaration written by Ernest Holmes on his website. And on our website, and you'll find that at cslmidtown.org. Please check it out. A practitioner is someone who is discriminated. Sometimes we can even talk. A practitioner is someone who has demonstrated the ability to use spiritual practice and spiritual laws to bring about great changes in their lives. They have also proven that they know how to guide others to bring about positive changes in their lives. We are trained and licensed by the Centers for Spiritual Living out of Boulder, Colorado, and we are available to you to provide spiritual guidance and support. You may contact one of your practitioners through the website, cslmidtown.org. We are all listed there. I am Lee Huffman, and I have the honor of serving as the president of CSL Midtown's Board of Trustees, and more importantly, a licensed practitioner of religious science. Today, I have the opportunity to serve in both capacities and to share some thoughts as a practitioner, and followed by an affirmative prayer, and which is called a science of mind treatment. So our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote a whole chapter in the Science of Mind textbook, which is this large book, which may fade out here, but this is an amazing book of 660 plus pages that is a little bit difficult to read. And we spend time studying it. We put it beside other spiritual books, including the Bible and others. And we love to understand it more, because it's through these eyes that we look back into the history of spirituality, and it comes back to us to today's true spirituality. In the third paragraph of the chapter that's called Mental Equivalence, he defines mental equivalence as follows. This is Ernest Holmes writing. Prayer does something to the mind of the one praying. It does not do anything to God. The eternal gift is always made. The gift of God is the nature of God and the eternal givingness. God cannot help but make the gift because God is the gift. We do not have to pray for God to be God. God is God. Jesus revealed the nature of the divine being by his personal embodiment of the divine nature. He said, "As you believe, it shall be done unto you." This whole teaching of Jesus was based on the theory that we are surrounded by an intelligent law, which does unto each of us as we believe. It gives to each of us what we believe we should receive. He implies the necessity of faith, conviction, and acceptance. That is, it must be measured out to us according to our own measure. We must not only believe, we must know that our belief measures the extent and the degree of our blessing. If our belief is limited, only a little can come to us, because that is as we believe. We call this the law of mental equivalence. That's Ernest Holmes speaking from the Science of Mind textbook, chapter 17, called Mental Equivalence. Let's talk about this a bit. In short, it says to me, those of us that can visualize something big will receive or manifest something big in their lives. Those that can only visualize something small will be given something small. In order to move forward into a better future, we need to envision a better future. I'll call this visioning faith. If all we do is envision what we've had today, that is what we will have. So if we envision something large, we will receive something larger. If we envision, hey, I'm okay the way I am, then we will receive more of what we are and what is around us today. Let me call that trust. Visioning more is faith. Visioning the same is trust. If we envision something less, then we will receive something less. And that I will call fear. If things move forward, as some of us in the transition team have been thinking it will, after we assemble the member selection team, that team, along with practitioners and board members and other members of the center, will come together in a workshop online that is called the Co-Creation Workshop. That workshop is about creating a larger vision for the center, one that is larger than the one that I believe we have today as a leadership team and a congregation. I believe that we are trusting today, and I want us to have more faith today. I want to have more faith myself. I'm not talking about other people. It's about me. Sorry about that. But that vision will be shared with all of you when it comes together. And it is our hope that it will become our center's mental equivalence. This is several months out, but it's worth starting today. This time is an amazing opportunity for CSL Midtown, and it's an opportunity for some of you that is amazing. It is your opportunity to be a contributor to the middle equivalents of this center like you have never contributed before. No, it's the opportunity to be a co-creator in the future of the center. Mark my word, whether you are part of this team or not, you will be creating the future of the center, because your mind will be generating energy that will be part of the true mental equivalents of the entity that we call CSL Midtown. That will be true whether you're on a co-creation team, in the workshop, in the minister selection committee, whether you're a practitioner or a trustee or not. If you're within the range of my voice, whenever you're looking at this, your thoughts will be telling the universe what this center should be like. And the universe says one thing, and so it is. It takes what we say we want, say over and over again that we want, and gives it to us. If you see the center as a small group of people who come together one Sunday each month for a celebration service and lunch, which is amazing, if that's all you see it as, though, so it is. If you see the center as a place that you can jump into Facebook or YouTube and watch an interesting talk now and then, if you have time during the week, so it is. If you see the center as a thriving community that comes together every Sunday with both the older people and the younger people, with our home of our own and broadcast to hundreds of people who get fed every week, so it is. Right now, our mental equivalence is either the first or the second in my mind. I'm probably getting in trouble now, but it is not a center that is thriving community that comes together every Sunday with hundreds of people who get fed both in person and online. If this were our middle equivalence, it would be different. Our teams are doing an amazing job of bringing great speakers like the one that we have today and the one that you have every week. And I am so pleased with the work that they're doing. But I'm going to ask again, if you would like to make a very important contribution to the center, toss your name into the ring to be part of the Minister Selection Committee. You can do that by sending me an email with your interest, name, and phone number to president@cslmidtown.org. We need people with vision on this team. And I'm looking at you. We need you. We need practitioners. We need trustees. We need lay people on this team. So if you'd like to see the center move past where it is today, where frankly it is financially at a break even, where we break even without a full-time minister, then if you wanted to move past that, then please look at your budget, see if you can give more. I know there are several of you who are already giving, and we sincerely appreciate that. But there are some who are watching every week, like we do on the internet. I do it with a lot of things, and who do not give their time or their money, and who have the ability to do so. So if you have that ability, please consider giving it at a time that we need it. As the master teacher Jesus told us, as we believe, it shall be done. What do you believe about CSL Midtown and our future as a center? As I said, I'm probably in trouble with some of you now, so I'll step off my soapbox. But please, please, please give the center the benefit of thinking good thoughts for us. Good thoughts about how many people we can reach with this message. Good thoughts about the finances of the center. Good thoughts about the reach of the center. And good thoughts about the people who are leading the center. We must have a mental equivalence of abundance and growth, or we will not see abundance and growth. It's okay to remain where you are, but I think that we can have a bigger impact. I have a good friend and mentor of mine. He's been my mentor for many years. He's from the UK. And it has this amazing English accent that everybody wants to listen to. And he says, I can't do it in an accent, sorry. But he says, you are either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. I see this sinner as green and growing, and I hope you do as well. So let me move on to spiritual mind treatment for today. We have several licensed practitioners in our center that are here to, to help you move forward into your best life possible. They are here to help you get a better mental equivalence for yourself and your life. I am pleased. No, I am honored to be one of those practitioners. And as we do this, our conversations with you and guide you through spiritual mind treatment. Spiritual mind treatment is not something special. It is simply an affirmative prayer. It's not something major, mystical, strange. It's a prayer, a positive prayer. As we say one with you, a positive prayer, and as we say one with you, or you read one that we write and send to you, you can decide which parts of it to keep and to bring into your mind and which parts to let go. Those that you keep will become part of your thoughts that speak to God, part of your mental equivalence. And that mental equivalence, God will say yes to. With that in mind and in our hearts, let's go into treatment. I'm going to speak this treatment in my own words because I'm really treating my mind. If you choose to accept any part of this on your own, then you can internalize these words for yourself and it will become your thought, your treatment, your prayer to God, your mental equivalence. And God will respond with yes, and so it is. Together through treatment, we will agree that we internalize, emotionalize, and think upon will manifest in our faith, and that is God's response. So if you would, let's go into a posture of and a mindset of prayer. You may want to sit up and relax your body. Open up your arms and legs and put yourself into a posture of receiving. Receiving everything that the universe has to offer us. Let's take a deep breath and exhale as you become more present in this moment. Let's take another deep breath and exhale again. And another deep breath. And exhale again. As you hear this prayer, take any part of it that resonates with you as your own and think upon the thoughts, and they will manifest for you. And in this case, for us as a sinner. So know this with me, if you will. There is only one God, one creator, one source, one first cause to all things. There is only one. Today, I call it source because it is the source of all there is, all there was, and all there will ever be. Source is everywhere and in everything because it has created everything. Since source was the only thing in the beginning, it had to create everything out of itself. Source is in me. Source is in all within the sound of my voice. Source is in everything that happens to me, through me, around me, for me, and to me. Source is the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Since source is love, since source is good, everything is love and everything is good. This center that we call home is love and it is good. Since source is sacred and everything were created out of source, everything is sacred now. Since the Center for Spiritual Living and all those who come in contract with it, they are all sacred now. Today, I know that my world is full of blessings. Today, I'm thankful for what I have and all that I am about to receive. Today, I can imagine even more. More for the people of the center. More for the people who hear the exciting truths about religious science and new thought. And as documented by Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind textbook and other writings, I can imagine people volunteering to help us co-create and recreate the center. I can imagine people consciously giving their time and their funds to support the center and to bring new spiritual leader to our center. I can see that in my mind. I can see it in my heart. I can see the center growing and having an effect on people all over the world through the power of the internet. I can see the center finding a real home here in Atlanta, where we have a physical home as well as a virtual home, where we can hold classes in religious science and have a youth group and experience the joy of young people around us on Sundays again, every Sunday of the week. I can see something better than the center has ever seen before. I know that wonderful things are coming to us, even if we have not asked for them specifically. I know this because Source is both Father and Mother to me. God, which is love, the pure definition of love, is a loving, giving Father and Mother to us. All that we desire, all that we believe, all that we can imagine in this beautiful future of our spiritual home is coming because I trust in the Source of all things to give it all to me and to my center. I trust in love. Starting this very moment, our center is blessed with amazing love in the form of people who give of their time, talents, and finances. More and more people. There are people who have given so much, and we are blessed with that. It is beyond our mental equivalence. It is blessed with a spirit and the presence of God. I know that nothing can get in the way of the blessing that I desire because I, being created out of Source, the center, a spiritual living midtown, is an extension of Source. Nothing can get in our way, not even fear or apathy or reluctance towards change. These are things that I know do not belong here, and they are not here in the people that are leading this organization. Nothing limits me or the center, not even our past nor our present situation. I block all negative thoughts that come into my mind. I move them aside. And if they return to me, I move them aside again so that they cannot get into the depths of my mind. They cannot be confused with what Source has offered to me in this life. Change is part of nature, and change means growth to me, so I embrace change. And change embraces me and the center I serve. I do not say we have always done things this way or that way. Instead, I say this is a new and better way. Thinking this way ensures that good and positive thoughts grow in my mind, and our center continues to get better and better every moment, every day, because it is an important part of the universe. I know that it's time for change, and I will see positive changes that will help my community grow. I do not need to ask aloud for these things because Source knows my thoughts and has been preparing the way for the needs of the center to be met. I rejoice in the blessings that this Center for Spiritual Living Midtown and the members of the community we live in and extended community that we have all over the world. I rejoice in those blessings. I am truly blessed, and I'm completely focused on the blessings of life, knowing that my focused thought will bring even more positive change to this world. I'm at peace with the universe because I know that the universe is unfolding positively for me. Change does not happen to me, it happens for me, and all is well. Now I release these words into source, knowing that my thoughts are creative and they will create a positive experience for everyone who comes in contact with my spiritual center, Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. And together we say, and so it is. Thank you. The theme for Centers of Spiritual Living Worldwide is, for this year, is a grand arising. The theme for this month is giant gentleness, and this week's subject is the other love. It's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Janine Burns as our guest speaker today. We'll be talking about the law of divine adjustment. Dr. Burns is a native Long Islander who just bought a boat, I heard, and ordained as a New Thought minister, teacher, and counselor. She's passionate about helping other people shed their limiting beliefs and live from the realms of possibility. Dr. Janine is known as Rev, and she holds doctorate in religious studies and divinity from Emerson Theological Institute. So without further ado, if you want to find out more about her, check out her Facebook page. It's my pleasure to welcome Reverend Dr. Janine Burns.
Thank you, and good morning. Good morning to everyone at the Atlanta Center for Spiritual Living Midtown and everybody watching on Zoom. It's great to be with you. The Law of Divine Adjustment is the title of my talk today. It is in the structure of our DNA that we're spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. Think of DNA as divine nature always. Our divine nature always is as a spiritual being having a physical human experience. There is one ultimate loving energy that is present in all that exists. It expresses in, through, and all of creation. Call it whatever you choose, God, spirit, source, infinite intelligence, divine love, the universe. I'd like to call it creator of all that is. It was Dr. Ernest Holmes, philosopher and founder of Science of Mind, who wrote about God in his book, This Thing Called Life. And I quote, he said, God is life, not some life, but all life. God is action, not some action, but all action. God is power, not some power, but all power. God is pure spirit filling all space, and the spirit animates our every act. This means that spirit expresses in us, through us, and as us. And as a spiritual beings, we co-create with God. Our job then is to make a declaration about our life. What do we want it to be? What do we want to do? Which of our creative talents do we want to cultivate and express? And then as we focus on our dreams and goals, we literally will be divinely guided. Whatever ideas necessary for our declaration to be made manifest will be available to us. Power flows to the focus of attention. Wherever our attention goes, power goes, energy flows. And so whatever thoughts we entertain often enough and vividly enough in our thinking, in our surface mind, eventually passes to our deeper mind, our subconscious mind. And this law of mind, which is the action of God, draws and attracts people, circumstances, and events that correspond to these subconscious thought patterns. So what we think about, we bring about. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. There's a story to demonstrate this principle, and it's a tale about little Annie Morrow Lindbergh. Only part of the story is true. And Annie Morrow Lindbergh is best known as the first woman in the United States to get a glider pilot's license. She was a prolific author, and her most popular work is entitled Gifts of the Sea. So she was born 1906. Now, one day when Annie was a little girl, her mom invited over her husband's business associate, actually it was his business partner, J.P. Morgan, invited him over for tea for a little visit and to meet little Annie. Now, J.P. Morgan was a famous financier. He was a banker, philanthropist, and art collector. Now, if you'd ever seen a photo of J.P. Morgan, you saw that he had a tremendous nose. It was big. It was bulbous. And it dominated his entire countenance. And, of course, he was very sensitive about the subject. So they sat in their living room parlor, and they spoke for a while. And Mrs. Morrow noticed that Annie kept looking at Mr. Morris's large nose. And she was getting more and more anxious as she watched Annie look at the nose. And she was stressed out, concerned that Annie would say something to Mr. Morgan about his nose. So when it was time for Annie to go upstairs to bed, Mrs. Morrow was relieved. So Annie heads towards the stairs. She stops and looks back over her shoulder at the nose, takes a few more steps, and then again, she looks back. Finally, she slowly climbed the stairs. And Mrs. Morrow, with a great big sigh of relief, turned to Mr. Morgan with the teacup in her hand and said, "Would you like any cream or sugar with your nose?" Cute little story. Power flows to the focus of attention. Wherever our attention goes, energy flows. Therefore, it is of the utmost importance to monitor our thinking and keep it positive. Now, this can be really difficult to do if we get caught up in thoughts of fear and doubt and uncertainty. And that thinking, it can literally be debilitating. The important thing to remember is that we can't control what thoughts come into our mind, but we can control if they stay there. There's a Chinese proverb that says, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. So we can control the thoughts that come into our mind, but we can control if they stay there. So a really good suggestion is to make a list of things to think about instead. 10 things to think about instead. Because when you suddenly become aware that you're thinking negative, it's hard to shift your thought if you're a newbie at changing your thinking. But if you have a list of things to think about instead, it can be very helpful to shift your thoughts when you do catch yourself being negative. We must be in charge of our thinking, because the power within, the divine excellence within, your authentic nature awaits us making a declaration. And we can make a declaration about whatever we want to experience in life. And we can say yes. We can say yes to peace, yes to health, yes to prosperity and joy. And the universe, the creator of all that is, immediately will flood us with all the divine ideas necessary. All the divine ideas we would require to be or have that experience. Suddenly, there's synchronicity everywhere we turn. And we find ourselves at the right place at the right time, surrounded by fortuitous circumstances. So I encourage you to ask yourself, what declarations have you made for your life regarding your dreams and goals? And you don't have to just make one, because there are so many ways to express our divine nature. And the power within us waits that declaration. And when we make a declaration and we say yes to life, then it floods us with everything we need to be and experience that. So I'm reminded of the story of Jonah and the whale. And to paraphrase this story, Jonah had made a declaration. He said he was a preacher. And so when he made the declaration, said, "I'm a preacher," God gave him an indication where to preach. And he said, "Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh in Assyria. The people down there are having a bunch of problems. And I want you to tell them that all they need to do is change their minds. They need to repent," which means to change your mind, change your thinking, change your consciousness and your perceptions. Now, Jonah, he's really terrified. And he goes, thinking, "Gosh, I don't know about that. Maybe I'll do that later. Not right now. And, you know, I really don't like hanging with those Assyrians. I'm out of here. I'm just going to hang out in Joppa. I'm going to kick back and see what life brings to me." Now, don't we all know people who do that? They just kind of hang out and see what life brings them. And then whatever life brings, they're not really satisfied because they're not participating in the now moment and living fully. They might say, oh, you know, life's a drag, or maybe they're just so blasé because they've not committed to expressing their divine nature and they've not made a spiritual declaration of what they want their life to be. So Jonah, he goes down to Joppa. He's hanging out there, but he's really not too happy. He was actually pretty discontent because there was nothing happening. So a ship comes along and it's going to Tarsus. And Jonah thinks, hey, I like boats. I'll go for a boat ride. So he gets on the ship. Again, think about it. How many people just do that? They hang out, just going here and there, but never really committing to following their dreams. They don't commit to their goals or their talents. And beyond that, they never commit to revealing their divine nature. So Jonah's out on the boat. And all of a sudden, a big storm whips up. Now, the captain of the ship was a very clever guy. He went up to everybody on the boat and asked them, why are you there? What's going on with you? What's your declaration? Everybody said they were going somewhere. They belong somewhere. They were going someplace. That they had their dreams and goals. Then he gets to Jonah. Jonah, where are you going? What you doing? And Jonah confessed, saying, I'm running away from God. So the captain of the ship, being the very bright guy that he was, he had a plan. His plan was to pick up Jonah and throw him overboard, which is what he did. And so there's Jonah just floating around in the ocean. And all of a sudden, this big old fish, and we figure it was a whale, this big old fish comes along and swallows him up. And that got Jonah's attention. And so Jonah then was in the belly of this whale for 3 whole days and 3 whole nights. Now, have you ever had a belly of a whale experience where you've just been wandering through your life and everything's good, but then suddenly your job ends or a relationship ends, or maybe you get some kind of an illness, or there's an accident, or to someone you know and love, something's up and you think, I got to figure this out. I have to strategize. I have to manipulate. I have to do something. And you want to take some kind of action and do something. You're at your wit's end, stressed out, feeling exhausted. And you feel like you've been swallowed up by the circumstances of your life and you feel shut down. You're in the belly of the whale, so to speak, feeling as though you're being tossed around by life. And when you are in the belly of the whale, there is nothing you can do, nothing except turn to that one place where all solution lies. And that is to the presence and power of God within. And that's what Jonah did. He turned to God within and he said, and I quote from the New Revised Standard Version of the Old Testament, I have been cast out of your presence and your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. So once Jonah found himself in the whale's belly, he starts to call on God. And the minute he did so, the moment that he consciously connected with the amazing energy, presence, and power of God, he said, okay, God, I'm going to get on with my life. I'm going to do what I said I would do. I'm going to live up to my commitments. I'm going to live up to my declarations. And I am willing to do the spiritual work necessary to reveal my divinity. What happened? Well, that big old whale went up to the shore and just spit him out. And so just like Jonah, if we should find ourselves in great difficulty, we too can consciously connect to the divine within using the law of divine adjustment. The law of divine adjustment is our spiritual reset button. And when we reset something, we move it back to its original space. The original space is our spiritual center, our divine excellence, our authentic nature. It's the amazing energy, presence, and power of God that expresses in and through all of life. And so regardless of what the situation, no matter how dire the circumstances seem, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical, the law of divine adjustment will see us through, because that law will regulate, balance, bring order and harmony to every aspect of our life and in circumstances. The law of divine adjustment works immediately as you decree it. There's a great Bible quote in Isaiah 43, and it says, "Do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing, and now it's going to spring forth." And if you read a little further, it says, "I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The creator of all that is can do anything. And so now is the time. Today is the day is to press our spiritual reset button and decree and affirm the law of divine adjustment is at work in my life and affairs, bringing all into divine order, harmony, wholeness, and love. The law of divine adjustment is at work in my life and affairs, bringing all into divine order, harmony, wholeness, and love. This is a very powerful statement of truth, and it brings our consciousness back into alignment with the creator of all that is. And through the law of divine adjustment, we experience ease and grace in our life and affairs. Our life can even be completely transformed. We can experience peace and joy and ease, my favorite word, ease and comfort, success and prosperity and love and wholeness, and everything not in alignment with this divine excellence will shift. Everything not in alignment with peace and power and joy and freedom and ease and wholeness, anything that contradicts our good will move out of our lives. Do you know that Ernest Holmes affirmation? It's in Living the Science of Mind, page 339. Good and more good is mine, and ever increasing good is mine. There is no limit to the good which is mine. Everywhere I go, I see this good, I feel this good, and I experience it. It crowds itself against me, flows through me, expresses itself in me, and multiplies itself around me now. Isn't that a great affirmation? So when we press our spiritual reset button, we automatically surrender and release and let go and let God. And this doesn't mean that we're giving up or giving in. It doesn't mean that we're weak, and it doesn't mean that we're lost or that we're a loser. It means that we surrender the stressing and the straining and striving to figure things out and make them happen. We cease desperately seeking answers. Instead, we declare that everything is in perfect order, harmony, and balance, and is working out for the highest best of all concern, and we stick to it. Now, I often call forth the law of divine adjustment. Often, seeming miraculous things will occur. One time I had a bad injury to my foot. I actually broke my heel, and I wasn't allowed to put my foot on the ground for 11 and a half weeks. It was very difficult. So that day I came home from the hospital. I was so hungry, and I tried to get myself something to eat, but it was literally impossible to stand on one foot and keep my balance. And I needed to be concerned that I didn't put my other foot on the ground. So I was getting more and more hungry and more frustrated and aggravated and exhausted. Finally, I was at my wit's end, and I suddenly remembered to remember, which so much of this oneness teaching is about, remembering to remember. And I remembered this thing called the law of divine adjustment. And I said out loud over and over with great feeling, the law of divine adjustment moves through my life and affairs, bringing all in divine order, harmony, wholeness, and love. Now, feeling is very important when you work with your declarations, because feeling is the fuel that propels thoughts into manifestation. So I said this declaration over and over and over, 10 minutes. With great fervor, and I even began singing it. So a little while later, my phone rings. I pick it up, and the voice on the other end says, "Hey, Rev, you just popped into my mind. Are you hungry? I just barbecued a turkey." The law of divine adjustment had worked immediately. I popped into that guy's mind, and he decided to share his food. And there were so many remarkable ways that the law of divine adjustment worked. Events shifted. People showed up to assist me. I had contractual obligations, which, you know, you can't break those. And people helped me with those and my commitments. And these events were filled with coincidences, divine coincidence, divine synchronicity, all brought forth through the law of divine adjustment. And so, students of truth, I call upon you to actively bring forth the energy and power of the creator of all that is and your divine excellence by pushing your spiritual reset button and making your declaration, the law of divine adjustment now moves through my life and affairs, bringing all into divine order, harmony, and wholeness. You don't have to wait until circumstances are different. You can make this declaration right now and make it often, and then you can just watch as the amazing power moves through every aspect of your life and affairs. In fact, bringing all into order, harmony, wholeness, and love. So I'd like to end with a declaration. God's wisdom guides me. God's love protects me. God's substance supports me. God's light renews me. The law of divine adjustment now moves through my life and affairs, bringing all into a divine order, harmony, wholeness, and love. And so begins the lesson.
Thank you, Dr. Janine. And so if you want, you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate. And I will do our affirmation of prosperity really quickly and turn it over to Lee Huffman. So I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And now, Lee Huffman for our closing.
Thank you, Vance. Thank you, Dr. Burns. We're short on time, so here are three things I would like for you to do. One, pray, give treatments for us, give to the center, and keep us at the top of your mind as a positive thing. And if you want to, we would like for people to send a message to president@cslmidtown.org to join this ministerial selection committee and selection team. So as we, for no further ado, as we go out, we have the abundance of affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something that I better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world as a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything that I need to create the life I desire. And I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.
There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are. And you can use it.